Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Doctor of History, economist, Webster Griffin Tarpley is our guest for the rest of the hour. The Dr. Bob Bowman's coming in. I'm tempted for a segment or two to have these two in here together. That'd be a very interesting event. Well, last time we had that was when they were on C-SPAN, my 9/11 event in 2006 that had such a big effect. Webster, you were going through some of the history of these people we worship in this short segment. When we come back, I want to look at the real power they wield, suspending parliaments, kicking natives off islands, funding genocide, a really nasty lot. But she's such a sweet old lady.
Yeah, the history of it, of course, is something quite different. If you wanted to focus on one person in the entire thousand-year history of the British monarchy, right, going back to William the Conqueror, in 1066, it would probably be King Edward VII. Now, he was king, formally speaking, pretty much in the first decade of the 20th century. So about 100 years ago, he died. So he'd been in power from about 1900 to 1909 or 1910. However, since Victoria had been this recluse for 40 years, he was, in effect, the acting king. And this is the one case where the monarch coincides with the leader of the oligarchy. In other words, he combined both posts. Sometimes you'll have the monarch as some weak figure and the oligarchy has a different leader. But King Edward VII has got both of these.
A real tyrannus.
Not exactly a tyrannus. Again, it's an oligarchical system. It's not a French style, you know, Louis XIV absolute monarchy or something like this. It's a doge, right? He's like a doge, but of Venice, but he's, if he can lead the oligarchy. And what he did, this is the person who basically organized most of the historical tragedies from about 1860 until his death. And World War I is really his handiwork. Edward VII is the guy who created the Triple Entente. In other words, Britain, France, and Russia against Germany. The encirclement of Germany.
And they started the hype that the rise of Germany is a threat.
Exactly.
They didn't even mince words. They said they're too economically powerful, too many scientists, too many patents. We've got to start a war with them.
Right. And this can teach us a lot about our current period, because the U.S.-China relationship today is a kind of an echo of the British-German relationship at the time. And, of course, that led to a world war. So he set up this alliance system, right, this idea that in 1914, when something happened in Europe, the only thing that was possible was if France started to mobilize, then everybody else had to mobilize. And once everybody started to mobilize, then war was a foregone conclusion. So Edward VII is somebody who set that up. He made a trip to North America, the first visit by at least the Prince of Wales to North America in 1860. It's thought that he helped get the American Civil War going. He did a number of things like this. So Edward VII, you'd have to say, is the indispensable person for causing World War I. Out of World War I comes World War II, pretty much directly, Nazism, communism, eventually the Cold War. The entire pattern of world history since Edward VII has been shaped as a tragedy, right, as a catastrophe.
It's all orbiting this creature.
Yeah, he is considered their greatest activist, right? In other words, their most successful political guy since William the Conqueror would be Edward VII. All right, we mentioned Edward VIII as a Nazi, and this he clearly was. Of course, not just him. There was a whole faction in the House of Lords, the so-called Cliftonstet. It's written Cliveden, but Cliftonstet. This is Lady Astor, Lord Astor, a whole group of dukes and lords and others who were all pro-Hitler. And this is the group that supported Chamberlain, right? The appeasement, so-called appeasement policy, which was really just the support of Hitler. And did they learn anything from this stuff, right? After 1945, you could say, well, you know, they were fooled by Hitler. Many were fooled by Hitler. Prince Philip, this is a guy from a Greek-Dutch family.
Which is originally German. Stay there. Let's just come right back, because I got these idiot emails going, he's Greek and Dutch. Well, the Dutch royal family's German, ladies and gentlemen. And you're like, well, why are they then attacking Germany? Some say it might have been Germany's mistake to not basically kneel to this monarchic family who they originally came from. We'll be right back. Stay with us on the other side.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG clubs and survival bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
America, you've been warned. For weeks, we've been warning you about a single event we believe will happen in the next 12 months that will shake the very foundations of our nation. We've told you about the video that details this shocking prediction. So far, over 6 million people have watched this free video online. Have you? Again, this big event has nothing to do with war or the stock market, yet it could change everything about your normal way of life. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. Could this really happen? Well, the man who created this video has been right about many predictions in his career. He was among the first to predict the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. If you haven't taken time to watch this free video, do it right now. You may never think about America the same way again. You can find the free video at endofamerica3.com. Again, that's www.endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Fear of falling is the number one reason seniors leave the home they love. And millions of aging Americans can no longer enjoy the pleasure of a simple bath from fear of falling. Don't leave your home. There is a solution. The revolutionary Designed for Seniors walk-in tub. Rediscover the soothing, luxurious pleasure of a comfortable and therapeutic bath by calling 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors walk-in tub has everything. A low step and walk-in door for easy access, built-in heating, easy-to-reach controls with both water and air jet therapy to soothe away aches and pains. All tubs are proudly made in the USA and come with a limited lifetime warranty. Enjoy a relaxing, safe, and comfortable bath again. Call 877-513-3797 and ask for the Designed for Seniors walk-in tub. That's 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors walk-in tub for boomers and beyond.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Doctor of historian, economist, Webster Griffin Tarpley's here. He's breaking down the royal wedding, and we're going to get into the real power of the British monarchy, the crown, pretenders to the throne. The throne itself is a fraud, and what this modern spectacle is all about. Then we're getting into the birth certificate and Tarpley's view on that. We're getting into the economy, the wars, and we'll get to some of your phone calls. Dr. Bob Bowman is also coming up in studio. I've got them both here to be interviewed for a film. So we're killing two birds with one stone and also doing radio interviews. Always great to have them. Okay, Webster, you were going through the buildup to World War One, World War Two, the British orchestrating that, their eugenics, Nazi support. Let's continue.
All right, so Edward VII, if anybody is the architect of the catastrophe of the 20th century, Edward VII is right up there. He's at least a real contender. The question I think that your email touched on is, what is the name of this family? Who are they, right, this royal family? Today they call themselves Windsor. They decided to call themselves Windsor in about 1916, 1917, when all of those millions of British getting killed in the First World War that Edward VII had set up. There was a huge anti-German hysteria in Britain. Up until that time, they'd been calling themselves the ruling house of Hanover. And they've been going by that name since George I had come over, right, around 1710. But the real name of it is, you've also said, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, or Sachsen-Coburg-Gotha. Gotha, or Guelph, Guelph being the anglicized version of Welf, W-E-L-F, Die Welfen. That is what the House of Hanover used to call themselves. So this is the family that now call themselves Windsor. Prince Philip of a Greek-Danish branch of this family, is the guy who wants to come back as a virus. But the question was, after 1945, did they learn that Nazism was bad? Well, who was Prince Philip's best friend? His best friend, it was Prince Bernard of Holland.
Another relative, another German princeling dispatched to fertilize Queen Beatrix, the princess. And expanding on that, for those that are not aware of this, when I say they began what is Nazism, that was only one branch of the eugenics movement that they heavily financed starting in the 1850s through Galton. This is all mainline history.
In the case of Philip, his best friend, lifelong friend, was Prince Bernard of Holland, and that, of course, is the founder of the Bilderberger Group. In a way, you could say the Bilderberger Group, the royal patrons of that Bilderberger phenomenon, were Prince Philip and now the late Prince Bernard. What's with Prince Bernard? He was a minor, not very wealthy German nobleman, not even a prince. I think he was the ruler, maybe the Duke or the Count of Detmold Lippe for sure. And he married the House of Orange, which is either they're the richest in the world or the Windsors. It's between Orange and Windsor.
And that's a big state secret. They're so powerful, they successfully have had the AP agree to never photograph them even in public.
All right. Bernard had been, when he had been in the university in Berlin in the late 1920s, he had joined the Nazi stormtroopers. He was a brown shirt. He was a member of the SA, the Sturmabteilung. But then it was realized, of course, that he was on his way to.
So he left Germany, ran back, and as the German planes are invading, he does photo op shooting at them.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Before he did that, he went from the SA brown shirt stormtroopers to the SS black shirt elite, and not just the
who pledged total fealty to Adolf Hitler.
And he was a member of the Reiter SS. In other words, there was a subdivision of the SS, the elite of the elite, la crème de la crème, where in order to get into that one, you had to be a noble. So he was a key figure in that. Then when he married Princess of Orange there, the future queen, then Juliana, I guess it was, he had to basically resign from all of his Nazi party offices. So Prince Philip never learned not to be friendly with Nazis. He was a friend of Prince Bernard all his life. It just never ended.
And he makes constant statements on TV. He'll go, he's obsessed and obsessive compulsive. If he sees a light bulb that's burned out in a palace, he publicly says, there must be blacks working in here.
Now, his racism, very good point. The question of Lady Diana about 12 years ago, right, Princess Diana, Lady Diana Spencer, Princess Diana. She had married Charles, of course, and Charles was an adulterer. He had Camilla Parker Bowles on the side. It's typical of the family. His brother, his younger brother, Prince Andrew, known as Randy Andy, was also a rake, an adulterer.
What I tell you, Camilla Parker Bowles, she looked like roadkill 50 years ago.
Today she was wearing a champagne dress, which I guess has something to do with the fact that whenever you pick up the Globe in these supermarket tabloids, it's always that she's drunk again and having a drunken fit. But Princess Diana, after having divorced Prince Charles, right, since this her life with him was unbearable, she was going to marry Dodi Fayed. Now, Dodi Fayed, of course, this is the son of Al-Fayed, who had bought this Harrods department store in London, except for about 10 or 15 years, there was a huge feud between Al-Fayed, I guess of Egypt, and Tiny Rowland. And Tiny Rowland was a guy who worked with and for the British royal family. So there had been a kind of a conflict between Al-Fayed and the royal family through Tiny Rowland. At the point that Princess Diana was going to marry Dodi Fayed, she was going to convert to Islam. So you would have had a situation, including today, if she had lived, you would have had the Queen Mother of England, or Queen of England, depending. Well, of course, by the time she converted, she wouldn't have been queen. But the queen mother, for sure, she would have remained, would have been a Muslim. And this would have happened about 1999, 2000, 2001.
The word is she was pregnant.
Just in time for 9/11, we would have had the whole clash of civilization strategy completely negated because the queen mother of England is a Muslim. So this was unacceptable. And this was a kind of a... Her death.
And this, of course, was the
arranged.
This was the estranged Diana showing them, you know, I'll go get myself a Muslim consort.
Her death is impossible to explain without some kind of.
And over 80% of the Brits on record in polls say they killed her. And she made a videotape and a diary and told her butler, Charles told me he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident, which is British and U.S. intelligence agency's favorite way to kill you.
And, of course, Prince Charles is one possible factor. I think you'd also have to include Prince Philip.
And the reason people are going to say, well, why are you going into all the details? It could go on for hours, folks.
It's true.
This is who we're being told is loving and good, but has no power. Now, let's get into their real power. Earlier, I read the Times of London. Islanders accused Queen of illegal eviction from Diego Garcia, the island, now turned into a giant U.S. refueling weapons base in the Indian Ocean. In the middle of the Indian Ocean, they kicked out 3,000 of the tribes that's lived there for basically ever, and she just says that she's the queen. If she has no power, she gave the order. How does she suspend parliaments? What is her real power? What is her real position? Like the Dutch, her wealth is secret.
She is fabulously wealthy. I mean, she doesn't appear on these lists. When you see something that says, you know, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates is the richest.
And they advertise her allowance in taxpayer money, you know, the billions for heating the palaces and the rest of it, as if that's the only money.
She has a large fortune, which does not appear because it is held through this.
They have the loot of 1,000 years.
I think it's called Couts, C-O-U-T-S, is the bank that handles her personal finances. Anyway, there are trusts and other things that you don't see that she owns, right? It's rumored that she owns a good part of the real estate in Manhattan, right? That would already make her fabulously wealthy. She can dissolve Parliament anytime she wants. She can just send them all home. She has to appoint the person who tries to become prime minister. You want to try to form a government, you have to go through her.
She has governor generals.
The governor's general. Let's go through the governor's general. I think that I think the most eloquent examples that I could cite were in 1975, you had this guy, Gough Whitlam, in Australia, who was trying to set up an alternative energy supply for Australia. He was trying to make direct oil for technology deals with Middle East oil producers, a very good thing to do. And he was then ousted. And ousted by the actions of the royal governor general, because there was a conflict between two branches of parliament.
But now the reverse is happening. Three times they try to kick out Harper, she comes in and dissolves so he can stay in.
Right. We've had this repeatedly. And even before that, I think a very good example is under Mulroney, so-called Malrene among the Quebecois. Mulroney was the guy who brought you free trade, right? The giant sucking sound in the form of NAFTA. There was a large opposition in the Canadian Senate. There was no majority for this NAFTA monstrosity. So the Queen obliged Mulroney by appointing new senators, packing the Canadian Senate so that there would be a majority for this free trade treaty, which I think everybody, including Canada, has suffered under. So the power of these governor generals is extensive. She gets these red boxes. All the top secret documents from the SIS, from MI5, MI6, the whole British intelligence establishment, like the Treasury, she gets these red boxes and she reads them. And the entire bureaucracy serves her, the entire loyalty, right? All the officers in the army are monarchists and royalists.
Well, she has patronages. They still hand out houses and lands and little goodies.
Right, we just had the Maundy gifts, right, where she gives a piece of gold for every year of her age to these poor commoners. Ultimately, what it inculcates is the sense of being a subject, in the sense of being an inferior person. In other words, there's a sovereign, that's her, and there's a subject, and that's you, and you're a subject to the whims of the sovereign. So it's a completely degraded system. It is a feudal relic. And, of course, it's a terrible index of the degradation of the United States that people put up with this, right? And now you also look.
Well, stay there. I'm going to come back because they're really the big progenitors of the New World Order, eugenics, world population, Malthusian death cult.
349, 359, 379. How much pain of the pump can you handle? Ease your pain now. Did you know you can increase gas mileage by 25 to 45% or even as high as 60% by adding water? Go to SaveYourGasMoney.com and learn how you can save an average of $750 to $1,850 per year with our hydrogen on-demand technology. Running our hydrogen gas through your engine is the equivalent of using 140 octane fuel. See how it works at SaveYourGasMoney.com. We have two complete systems for all cars, trucks, and SUVs for gas and diesel engines. Our gas-saving stainless steel units install easily in about 2 hours with no engine modifications and no extra parts needed. It's completely safe, American-made, requires no maintenance, comes with a lifetime warranty, great technical support, and same-day shipping. Visit SaveYourGasMoney.com or call 888-887-9981. That's 888-887-9981. Ease your pain at the pump with SaveYourGasMoney.com.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. The earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster that killed thousands of Japanese citizens is nothing compared to the devastation that could be caused by hyperinflation that will soon hit the United States and could lead to millions of Americans becoming homeless, all caused by the devalued U.S. dollar. While the mainstream media continues to ignore inflation, our friends at the National Inflation Association provide a free weekly newsletter that educates Americans to the facts and truth about the U.S. economy and inflation. I urge you to sign up at the NIA's free newsletter at www.inflation.us to learn how you can not only survive, but prosper during the upcoming hyperinflation crisis. Silver has more than doubled since the NIA declared silver the best investment for the next decade on inflation.us. The NIA's team of expert economists are happy to answer any economic questions you have about inflation, debt, currencies, real estate, precious metals, and commodities. Visit inflation.us to learn the economic truth that the mainstream media ignores.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
About the fact that they've issued three of the same birth certificate, each one with different seals and watermarks on it, and it's clear they want to make this the debate. They don't want to talk about Obama and the lobbyists and the wars and the police state and the Patriot Act and the military commissions. And we're going to cover that in the next segment. But Webster, finishing up with the Royals here, looking at this, this Bernaysian, I'm sure you've studied modern advertising and Edward Bernays, you know, the father of it, but in the 20s and 30s, he advised the Department of War, then later the Pentagon. He said, look, royals are unpopular, politicians are unpopular, you have big gala events that are seen as very elite, you have the media cover it, radio and print, and then newsreels in the theaters, later TV, and then you get all of the movie stars and sports stars together with the politicians, you have the politicians host it, so everyone is bowing to them. And that's all this is a Bernaysian trick, constantly lining up people to have an audience with the queen, and then they trot out this so-called commoner so they, you know, don't have children that are unrecognizable, which is a smart move for them. Maybe they won't be as insane or brutal and, you know, inbreeding these psychopathic tendencies. But they also arrested, including Charlie Veach, peaceful, he's the head of the love police, folks that were going to just demonstrate against the wedding. So that shows your freedom in England. They had a sweep the last 2 days, picking everybody up who'd even criticize the wedding.
I think you would have to conclude that Great Britain is a police state far beyond anything that we've seen here in the United States.
Well, she's such a nice old lady.
With these closed circuit TV cameras everywhere, this Windsor dynasty, they have presided over the creation of a police state, and now we have this wedding. Which, again, is being used as a spectacle to essentially brainwash the world. They said, according to CNN, there were 2 billion people watching.
It's so incredible. No one can wait until it comes. The greatest event in history. It's so wonderful. It's fairy tale. They'll gather. Look at the diamonds. Look at the coach with the cherry interior drawn by four white stallions. This is absolutely the height of culture.
A bunch of inbred psychopathic killers up there. Who run around at cocktail parties wearing Nazi uniforms, one of the princes. I mean, it just goes on and on.
I also would put it in a somewhat broader context. Without being xenophobic, because I'm not, you have to notice that there's now a prevalence of British voices telling you the news. Right? You put on ABC this week, you have Christiane Amanpour, whose center of gravity, wherever she comes from, is obviously London.
Fox TV, but we have a couple British guys, but they're anti-New World Order folks. They're evil, too, darkly.
We have this guy Piers Morgan today. Piers Morgan on CNN, who's saying, wasn't this a great day for the monarchy? Hasn't the monarchy bounced back from all those troubles with Diana?
No, you're seeing the power of this house.
When you look at Al Jazeera, this is a complete British channel, right? They're all the experts.
Sir David Frost?
All of them British intelligence experts from Oxford or Cambridge or Exeter or Reading or all these other universities. What you're creating for the American people is this idea that Americans don't know anything about the world. You have to get a British expert to come and tell you about the world, and that's going to be Amanpour or Piers Morgan or other voices that are now really literally everywhere. There's a tremendous proliferation of this in the news business, and I think that's a really ominous tendency, because it used to be that an American reporter might have a different view, more egalitarian, less sympathetic to colonialism, less sympathetic to imperialism.
Now, on average, British reporters are very lapdog to police state and authority, anti-gun, knock-kneed, groveling at the feet of power.
Something like this. Their worldview, since Britain, unfortunately right now,
it's an imperial-conditioned group. The West is dying, just like Japan. And sorry, go ahead.
The social mobility, in other words, your chances, if you're born in the bottom 20% economically, your chances of getting to the top 5% right now in the United States are worse than any country in continental Europe. But the British society is even more hierarchical, more stratified, and with less mobility that we have.
And they're the king of cronyism.
So Britain is a completely oligarchical, hierarchical society.
And it's being held up as the model of everything, though it is 1984 control. We'll be back with the birth certificate. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Bunch of inbred scum. And they sell the British people that you are British because of this house. This is your identity, is these people that have been sucking off the British people for hundreds and hundreds of years, using their blood for empires, waging war against free societies. It's unbelievable. And in closing, I'll say this about the monarchy. We've spent a lot of time on it because it's an illustration of how they sell things, how they sell the greatest thing on earth is a football game. The greatest thing on earth is watching the prince and some woman getting married. The greatest thing on earth is loving this establishment. That's your identity. And it just goes to show they can hype up the threat of terror. Better chance of being killed by a honeybee, but got to give all your rights up because of the terrorist. It shows how this stuff, upon inspection, is unbelievably, ridiculously over the top, in a satirical way, hollow. Now, Webster Griffin Tarpley, you have one final comment on that?
Yeah, look, I also want to point out, the beef against the monarchy, actually, that I try to represent anyway, is a strain of thought within England, within Britain. My grandfather was from Wakefield. He was a bricklayer, skilled worker. My grandmother was from Leeds. Okay, so this is the north of England. This is Yorkshire. And in Yorkshire, there is a tradition, which is you don't like the court, you don't like Buckingham Palace, you don't like the City of London, you don't like the Foreign Office, you're suspicious of this entire imperial complex.
Well, that's Robin Hood.
This is, well, it's the north of England. That's a little bit further south, right? Nottingham.
But that's going on there, too.
This is a strain of thought inside Britain. So it's not that I'm saying British are bad. I'm saying this is a view that is also well represented inside England itself.
No. I mean, they always turn it around like you don't like social, you know, government-run health care, you're a racist. You're questioning these birth certificates, you're a racist. Same thing. Oh, you don't like Chinese Communist Party? You don't like Asians. You don't like the corrupt British Empire? You hate British people. And as you said, Tarpley is Britannic, it's really all German to begin with, yeah.
Sure. Anyway, it's a well-established tradition that the north of England, right, the Yorkshire school, is extremely hostile, skeptical, against a lot of these manifestations. And I hope there are still some people who keep that going, as I tried to. But to have that come here in the United States, this is now...
Well, it's totally alien to our 1776 spirit.
Right. Again, if from the point of view of an American system traditionalist, there is nothing more revolting than the U.S. television coverage of this event, right? Fawning, gaga, idiots.
Well, it's the force-feeding this joke.
Right.
It's like inviting people to a great Sunday dinner and your friends arrive and you're serving rotten possum. And they're holding up a rotten possum crawling with maggots. And they're saying, isn't it delicious as the maggots are falling on your plate? You're like, no, it stinks. I need to throw it. They're like, oh, it's delicious. Look, we have all these idiots gobbling it. I mean, it's like the emperor's new clothes.
Thank you for this very graphic metaphor. I'm sure the British monarchy will never return.
Well, I mean, here are these crazed-eyed, evil, drunken people with dozens of mistresses launching all these wars, writing books about how they want a world government to carry out forced extermination. And you know, financing they are the group that funded the social Darwinistic movement, the eugenics. It always goes back to this.
Yeah, look,
and you got the Rothschild banking cartel marrying in with them, absolutely pushing it as well.
Right. Look,
in fact, how do the Rothschilds mix into this?
Well, the Rothschilds are one of the banking houses. I mean, if you go back to King Edward VII. He had a group of bankers around him, and the significant number were also Jewish bankers.
Lord Rothschild.
One of the things that Edward VII said to the Jewish banking community in London is, if you want to be admitted into society, Edward VII's problem was he didn't have any money, and he wanted to live on a vast scale. So he said to these bankers, if I give you my investments, his investments were not a lot, I want all the profits to belong to me. I expect you to deliver profits.
Because he had political power. Mommy had all the money.
And she was a recluse.
So. Because he was he was the real king.
He was the Prince of Wales, and he was really the king, out of Marlborough House in that case. So he said to them, if there are profits, I get the profits, and you jack up the profits. If there are losses, you eat the losses. And this is Sir Ernest Cassell. Rothschild is another example, although they had established themselves somewhat earlier. They got into the...
By double financing both sides of the Napoleonic Wars.
Right. And, of course, August Belmont, the guy who ran the Democratic Party from 1850 to, I don't know, 1870, 1880, the whole New York establishment dominated by August Belmont. August Belmont was officially the Rothschild agent in North America.
How did Milner tie into this?
Yeah, Milner is a kind of a think tank, right?
He's their futurist schemer.
The kindergarten, so-called. This is under Edward VII, and here's the problem that they have.
That's why I brought up Milner.
In 1899, you have the Boer War, and what the Boer War shows, first of all, is that the British are militarily very weak, because the Afrikaners in Orange Free State and Transvaal defeat the British imperial forces.
And those are wild Dutch. The
Yeah. They then essentially reveal the weakness of the British. And at that point, Russia, under Count Witte, proposes to France and to Germany, let's form a continental bloc against the British. Let's line up Europe against the British. And unfortunately, it didn't work. It didn't work because the German emperor, Kaiser Wilhelm, Emperor William II, the Kaiser, was so stupid and was so much of an Anglophile and was so incapable of making strategic decisions that he did not accept this golden opportunity to really prevent World War I by having a continental bloc, Russia, Germany, France, of peaceful economic development and freeze the British out. And therefore, the shock that that sent, the 1899, 1900, 1901 isolation of the British, is what then gave the impulse to Milner and Cecil Rhodes and people like this to come up with these roundtables to begin a whole new strategy. And that's what then leads, with King Edward leading the charge, to the Triple Entente, the Anglo, the British-French Entente of 1903, and then the really big one is the British-Russian one of 1907-1908, which was considered impossible because the big conflict had been between Russia and the English. But Edward VII was able to paper over all this stuff, and then shortly after he died, that exploded into World War I.
Yeah, they went more into a covert roundtable CFR set up around that time in New York. It was pointed out then in the New York papers that weren't controlled by him that why is everything British, British, British? It was the affected style to speak in an Atlantic fake British accent.
Good question. And this is
that's the first in the house. I love you.
One of the puppets of Edward VII was Theodore Roosevelt, and Theodore Roosevelt was a guy who had had this identity crisis going, and he wanted to solve this by asserting that he was a member of the Anglo-Saxon master race. So Edward VII would write him letters saying, "Dear President Roosevelt, you and I are the leaders of the two branches of the Anglo-Saxon race. I represent the monarchical one and you represent the democratic one, but we have to work together." And Theodore Roosevelt would go gaga, right? He'd say, "Oh my God, the king is treating me like an equal. I've got to do what he says," right? So this essentially, the U.S.-British special relationship, if you like.
And this was sold by the Boer War propagandist, Winston Churchill, who then wrote these books that were pumped out, a whole bunch of volumes. I've read several of them, dealing with the history of the English peoples.
And English-speaking peoples, the Anglo-Saxon master race. Now, Winston Churchill, where does he come in? Randolph Churchill is his father. He married this woman, Jenny Jerome. Jenny Jerome came from the New York banking community, dominated by August Belmont and others. So Randolph Churchill died of syphilis, like Prince Eddie, was quite common. The Churchill family, though, is the career of Randolph Churchill was sponsored by Edward VII.
That's Marlborough. Yeah.
And Sir Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill. One of his first jobs was that he would write a letter to King Edward VII every day telling him what had gone on in Parliament that day. So he was also a protege. So the guys who bring you the catastrophes of the 20th century are, in many cases, proteges of Edward VII. But you were talking about Malthusianism, and I think that's also worth talking about. The British East India Company has two guys that essentially define economics today. One is David Ricardo. He's the head of the British East India Company, practically, and he's the source of monetarism, right? Of Milton Friedman, Chicago School, stuff like this. However, they also have a training academy for their executives. It's called Halliburry, and here we have Malthus, Thomas Malthus. He copies things from Venetians. He copies from a guy called Ortes of Venice. But this whole idea that there are too many people, that science and technology can't make a difference.
And that's copied from Plato.
No. This is copied from Ortes. This is copied from Gian Maria Ortes.
So what I'm saying, Plato made some similar comments.
I don't think, no, I don't see Plato really on that kind of a line at all. I would say Plato is on the...
Well, he had the duel. From what I've read, I mean, he did make comments about overpopulated and...
Look, Plato, a lot of Plato is by indirection. In other words, you can't take individual passages because a lot of times it's going to lead to a In other words, it's some metaphorical statement.
Because he could be killed for what he was writing, so he did it.
No, there's also that sometimes he says things that turn out to be false later on in the same dialogue. But for sure, Malthus was the big ideologue of the British East India Company, and they ran genocide in India. In other words, you talk about genocide, they did it in India on a vast scale. So Malthus is this idea. World is overpopulated. Science and technology can do nothing. Progress is impossible. It'll always be the same, right? There's no way out of it. That leads to Darwin. That's essentially Darwin's worldview, which is scientifically false. Nietzsche and ultimately Hitler and the Nazis.
And the British royals love this because it said there's elite bloodlines, the world's overpopulated, we ought to spread diseases to kill off the poor. This is Malthus, 250 years ago. And so this goes along and then develops ideas like social Darwinism. We're killing people, doing them a favor. It grows into the eugenics with Galton.
Right.
And that's this entire stream of where we are today.
And again, Prince Philip. If Prince Philip says he wants to be reincarnated as a deadly virus to come back and kill people and help solve the problem of overpopulation, again, that statement goes beyond anything Hitler ever said.
And that is repeated by all these top professors like Pianca here at UT. This is their religion. I mean, you read their writings to be entered into their club, to get the funding for publications, to be even allowed into the party. You have got to say humans are a parasite, and it's literally a control freak ultimate snobbery where they say, we're going to control history, we're going to set up a control grid, we're going to cut off resources, post-industrial world, we're going to then wipe everybody out. World government is a means to an end. This is a global, hidden Nazi movement.
The answer to that that I would give is the one of Leibniz and essentially of optimism, which is simply that science and technology have repeatedly shown that
Malthus said by 1800 we would have a global collapse and everybody would die, basically. Yeah.
John Maria Ortes, that he copied from, said that the absolute upper limit of the carrying capacity of the world is 3 billion. And he said this about 1790 in an essay on population. And Malthus simply took that. So the Malthusian argument is that the population outpaces food production. It's the opposite. Food production outpaces population as long as you simply allow science and technology to be supported. People are wealth. Their whole approach is scientifically wrong, economically wrong. People are wealth, the Spanish tradition is gobernar es poblar. To govern is to populate. In other words, you want to be a competent government. You want to get anywhere. You've got to...
Well, look at us now. I mean, they've done the actuaries. We're not going to be able to pay for the baby boomer aging population because they're not breeding. And they do the actuaries within another 50 years. I mean, it's total collapse. I mean, not even 50. This is all common sense. But you have this view, this feudal view, whether it was Japan, China, Europe, it's always the same tropism, as you put it, that they keep the serfs on 10% of the land. The serfs are starving to death because the elites like to keep them under their thumb. And so it's the same view. So they warp and develop modern sciences that ignore science and use these as preset ideas. And then everything else is spun around those lies.
Well, they hate science, and the history of the whole Royal Society, right, the British Royal Society, is they pretend to promote science if discoveries are made, they try to pretend they discovered them, but mainly they try to sabotage them. The other thing is this mentality, and we mentioned Theodore Roosevelt. If you look at the American West, right, you fly out here, right, you look at some of these states, the ending of the frontier, right, the passing of the frontier between 1890 and 1900 in America is not... It's premature in the sense that we have a lot of states out here, right? Wyoming, Utah, right? They're basically empty. And the reason that they're empty is that the process of settlement and population growth was artificially stopped by people around Theodore Roosevelt, the great stooge of King Edward VII.
Yeah, he sold, freeze the land, have the feds grab it, don't give the land to the people. Exactly. Raise taxes so they can't afford kids.
Gifford Pinchot. this guy, Gifford Pinchot, a key guy.
So he believes in the great Anglo-Saxon, but he actually puts... Well, that's the thing about these eugenicists. They always talk about how great the Germanic or Anglo-Saxon system is, how it's wonderful, but then it's a schizophrenic policy because then they seem to target their supposed own group. What is that?
A good example, back in this Boer War period, right? The first concentration camps of the 20th century, death camps, in effect,
were Afrikaners.
The British putting these Dutch in concentration camps, and you go to them and say, "What sense does this make?" Right? You claim to be a race theorist, but you're putting these Dutch in a concentration camp here in the middle of Africa. What sense does it make? In other words, it's a fraud. In other words, it's ultimately only designed to serve imperial power. What they were concerned about in the case of the United States, the Homestead Act is one of the greatest land reforms in human history, right? The idea that you got this immense expanse and you're going to make that into family farms. And the British and the oligarchs say, no, we don't want that because such people are going to be independent-minded. They're not going to take...
They already had the experience with the British colonies here in North America, and this is the essence, and now they see the rebellion. They see people becoming independent. They see the moves out west to take the 80% of the land held by the feds of the states and serve it out to the people.
Or these ideas that you're going to cut off water to a whole important farming area.
Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Which is simply...
For some fish that isn't even indigenous.
Yeah, the snail darter.
Stay there. We're going to come right back. The essence of the enemy.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
You know your gear can make the difference between a good day and a really bad day. It's time to prepare, and quality gear from emgear.net is the critical factor for surviving in the toughest conditions. You'll find only the best gear from quality manufacturers at emgear.net, like Maxpedition hard-use gear, Everly Stock backpacks, Snug Pack sleeping bags, SE knives, Ultimate Survival fire starters, waterproof bags, Adventure medical kits, Surefire flashlights, and tactical gear from SoTech, Spec Ops, Tactical Tailor, and more. Our staff knows the gear inside and out and will answer all your questions. EMGear.net always treats you with first-class customer service, affordable pricing, and a low $5.95 flat rate domestic shipping fee, no matter the size of your order. And EMGear.net stocks what we sell in our warehouse and never drop ships any orders. Call 678-455-5850. That's 678-455-5850. Or see our complete line at EMGear.net. For tactical, survival, and everyday carry, choose EMGear.net. Tough, rugged, reliable.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafe1.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafe1.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Webster Tarpley's going to be with us a little bit in the next hour. We've gotten off into a history lesson, but it's very intriguing. And I noticed some numbers of people just listing on the internet are surging because this is interesting. They tell you that people don't want history, real history, but they do. People are hungry for something other than celebrity news or how great the inbred family is. We do need to shift gears now in the next few segments into your view on the whole birth certificate situation, Webster, then the economy, then Dr. Bob Bowman's coming in.
Well, first of all, let me say, my standard for this stuff is if you want to be president, it means that you want to get your hand on the thermonuclear button. And that means that you acquire life and death power over all of us, ourselves, our families, our futures, and everything else. At that point, there is no private sphere. Any private sphere is a danger. It's a threat to the integrity of the government and the presidential decisions, because anything that's in that private sphere could be the object of blackmail. And the way that I would approach this whole thing with Obama is from the point of view of blackmail. So if you want to be president, you've got to put out your transcripts. For Obama, that would mean Punahou School, Occidental College, Columbia University, Harvard. All of this is secret, very, very much covered up. Who the professors were, what the grades were, things that he wrote, we'd be interested to know. We want to know your medical records, right? We wanted to know Dukakis's medical records. We want to know, have you had electroshock? Are you HIV positive? These are all things that the public has a right to know. If you look at this amazing hysteria of the Wall Street media, you'll see that they basically say, we oligarchs have the right to cover up. Oligarchs have the right to hide things. And we would have to say, no, the public, the informed voter, has the right to know these things. Because we always have this question about, is the president blackmailed? And if he's blackmailed, how can he be president? And I guess that applies.
Well, the larger issue is they've been so secretive for years about all this. They released the receipt of a certificate and said that that was it. There was no such thing as a long form, which was a ridiculous lie and made people go, wow, what are you hiding? Is it possible, Webster, that this is all just a setup to divert us off into just the birth certificate? Is it a bigger issue?
I don't see it that way. I think this is the key to the bigger issues. See, the problem with Obama is you want to deal with Obama on big issues. The problem with that is he lies. His whole method is based on deception, on dissembling. He'll never give you a straight answer. How are you going to nail him down? The tax cuts for the rich. He ran, he was against tax cuts for the rich. Last December, he's for tax cuts for the rich. Now he says, I'll never go back to tax cuts for the rich again. Who can believe this? It's fantastic. I would rather look at it this way, and I'll tell you, it's like a parable, and it's a story. In 1998, Bill Clinton was about to make a dirty deal with Newt Gingrich, and the dirty deal was the oligarchy wants to destroy Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the economic rights and entitlements of the American people. And Clinton was willing to do it, according to what we know. You might say, well, he was weakened by impeachment, whatever the reasons. Clinton was willing to do it. He was willing to betray his own base. He was willing to shift to a situation where Clinton's majority in the Congress would be largely provided by Gingrich. Now, the intermediary was Erskine Bowles. There's a book about this. It's called The Pact. Look it up. Erskine Bowles was the go-between. Now, what stopped this? Most people were not even aware of it much of the time. What stopped it was Miss Lewinsky. And Miss Lewinsky, whoever sent her, that's a whole separate question. But the effect of Miss Lewinsky was that the Republicans in the House went crazy. They couldn't be seen supporting Clinton. And even more acute was that inside the Democratic Party, all of those guys from the Democratic Leadership Conference, right, the right-wing Democrats, ran for cover. They wouldn't touch Clinton. They wouldn't do anything for him. The New Deal Democrats, if you can call them that, in other words, the Progressive Caucus, they were willing to stand and fight to defend Clinton. And Clinton looked at that and said, my God, if I try to destroy the main New Deal entitlement programs, these progressives are going to run away from me, and I'll have no support at all. Therefore, all right. I can't do it.
Now, got a break. Back in 1 minute. We've got to do these satellite breaks.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.